Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Last week I was on KHOW Radio with Dan Kaplis, Kaplis and Silverman show, Drive Time in the Afternoon, about the effort to stop the construction of the largest abortion facility in the country right here in Denver by Planned Parenthood and the Weitz Corporation. So we have permission, so we're going to play that call for you. And also we're going to talk about, in the news, this effort by Colorado pro-lifers to interfere with the construction of this new Planned Parenthood facility by, as I said, the Weitz Corporation, the same company that built Columbine High School, one of the, in fact, the oldest national construction company in the country, I think the 14th largest construction firm. So we'll go to that clip, and then we'll talk through the news, for example, in WorldNet Daily about what is happening right here in Denver. So right now, are we ready with the clip? This is from KHOW Radio, AM 630, last week on the Kaplis and Silverman show when I got to talk to pro-life talk show host, although he disagrees with our tactic of going to the homes of these abortion facility construction execs. They are building this largest facility right here in Denver. So Dan Kaplis disagrees with that tactic, so he and I talk through it. Let's hear it.
Our house in the middle of our street.
448, Dan and Craig, 630 KHOW. Brother Craig out today. Lines totally on fire as we talk about whether you object to this tactic of, in this case, it was abortion protesters protesting at the home of an executive, but talking about that whole tactic of protesting at somebody's home. Let's go straight to the VIP line. Hey, Bob Enyart. Bob is a guy, he and I, on the same side of this life issue, trying to protect the unborn. We occasionally disagree about certain tactics, but Bob, kind enough to come on the show. Bob, welcome back to 630 KHOW.
Hi, Dan. Thanks for taking my call.
And before we get going, yeah. it was your beautiful son, Dominic Enyart, 6, who was in that Rocky Mountain News picture this morning playing with a dog at the picket. It was a very cute picture. I think it grabbed the attention of a lot of folks. But
yeah, we have 7 boys, 3 playing ice hockey under the age of 10, so
wow.
It's a pretty busy household.
Wow. So hey, tell me, obviously you disagree. You know that I feel this tactic isn't real effective. You're
yeah.
one of the organizers, so you think it do. But, give us your case.
Okay. If people would have protested the building of Auschwitz, including the people who knowingly would build a death camp, if that would have happened in Germany, they would be heroes to history today. And we have to remember when we devise our tactics that they really are killing kids. And we've been protesting at the homes of abortionists for 20 years, and we know they're not going to quit. They're dug in, and their neighbors become increasingly supportive of abortion rights because of the protest. But we do it to discourage thousands of med students from getting involved, from becoming abortionist. And the LA Times, New York Times, even this summer, quotes from Warren Hearn, abortionist in Boulder, they all affirm that this technique works, and the same with collaborators. We want to tell people you don't kill kids with tranquility. If you're going to help kill innocent children, we will do what we can to make life miserable for you.
Hmm. Understand your point completely. Where I would disagree regarding the tactic is, and at the moment, be happy to talk about the abortion provider issue separately, this circumstance, you know, where you have a company executive, for example, I think the risk of alienating the people whose minds you have to reach in order to win this victory is too great, as opposed to, say, the gain to be achieved by picketing the business itself.
Dan, you're right. It is a risk. But you know what? Hate is also apathy. And there are tens of millions of people in America who agree that you should be able to kill kids, and there are tens of millions who couldn't care less. And social change is often brought about by a small number of people causing tremendous tension because of some injustice. Most people didn't care that blacks were owned. But the social tension that comes from injustice eventually could lead to it being corrected.
Now, isn't the difference here, Bob, that a tremendous amount of progress is being made in this country on the life issue because of the undeniable medical reality that so many people see through an ultrasound. And so, you know, at this point, in terms of, say, overturning Roe, and I know that's far from the end of the road in terms of convincing people that abortion should not be legal, but that's an important step, and that now is so close, it's probably within one vote on the U.S. Supreme Court.
Well,
so,
Dan, National Right to Life disagrees with that. Their attorney, James Bopp, just said a few weeks ago that there's no evidence that Alito or Roberts mm-hmm. would overturn Roe. And we know that Scalia and Thomas say that society has the right to legalize abortion. They reject the argument of the God-given right to life. And so you might think we're close, but we are far more pro-abortion as a society than we were in the late 60s and early 70s when abortion was legalized. And you have nearly 40 million women that have had abortions. So the heart of America is so hard that they don't care that kids are being killed, but Christian pro-lifers will get angry if you protest in a neighborhood. They get angry at that, but they don't get angry about kids being killed.
Well, a couple of things, Bob. First of all, I would respectfully disagree with you regarding, I mean, as a starting point, Scalia, I think I've read, and I know you have, every word Scalia has written in Supreme Court opinions on the issue of legalized abortion, and I don't think there's any question about where he stands. True, none of us can know how Roberts and Alito are going to vote until they vote, but personally, I think there are powerful indicators that they would go the correct way in this. But more importantly, would you...
Hey, Dan, you'll be shocked at this quote I'll give you right now from Scalia. Scalia said if there was a nationwide law prohibiting abortion, he would strike it down. He said the people who believe that abortion should be illegal everywhere are wrong. Hmm. That's the Pew Forum on Religion and Government, 2004. He was a participant. He rejects the God-given right to life. He believes that society has the right to choose abortion over the right to life.
Well, two things. And again, I'm happy to go as deep into this as you want to. But regarding Scalia, it's crystal clear, and I believe he's absolutely correct. There is no constitutional right to abortion. Roe is a fiction. It's legislation. I have not seen that particular quote, but I'd like to see if it's in the context of saying that he doesn't believe there's any constitutional right of the unborn to life, because Scalia's view of constitutional interpretation is that you have to be able to trace it back to either the text itself or to the deeply rooted traditions, you know, of the nation. But I'm afraid, Bob, at that point we're going to digress into like a 2.5-hour conversation of constitutional law that'll cause eyes to glaze. What I'm gathering here, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that you believe that there is no, let alone imminent possibility, there's no real chance of having abortion laws changed in this country, of having Roe overturned, of having abortions made illegal in most or all of the states. So your attitude tactically is, forget it, Dan, you're living in a dream world, you're not going to change these minds, you're not going to change the laws, so we have to go out at the point of impact and do whatever we can within the bounds of the law to save these kids one by one. Is that your philosophy?
That's pretty close. Let's not deceive ourselves and cheerlead into exaggerating what progress we've made. And we know that it's difficult for abortion clinics to hire child killers because of the home protest, not because of National Right to Life. And the same with collaborators. Around the country, thousands of people have quit working for abortion clinics because of the stress that pro-life activists put them under. Hmm. So we're trying to save the soul of Gary Megason, let alone his company from becoming associated with building a death camp for their legacy on the internet for the rest of their existence. But these guys are going to stand before God, and they're going to take this blood money to kill kids, and they're going to be cavalier about it. We need to care about him and his soul.
Hey, have you had any conversations with Mr. Megason or with anybody at the company?
Yes, I've talked to him personally and before any of the protests began. And two leaders, Will Duffy and Keith Mason, met with the White's management, their president, and Gary, who's a senior VP, just last week at their headquarters.
And what did they have to say?
They're very dug in. They're determined, and they don't care. They think, like Pilate thought, that they could just wash the blood off their hands. But that's wrong. You can't do that.
Hmm. Well, Bob, appreciate you. Hey, I can't let you go without one thing. You know, this pops up on all different issues, this side, that side, whatever, this issue of having children pictured and named in connection with an issue. For example, when a five-year-old was pictured and named on the front page of the Rocky at the, you know, gay pride parade, and then it was on the other side of a different issue. But tell us about your choice to have your son Dominic, beautiful little boy, pictured and named in that Rocky Mountain News story.
Well, actually, I wasn't there at that event, but it is I was traveling back from a film festival, but it is disconcerting because America is in a moral free fall and crimes against children are epidemic. So it's a bit disconcerting, and maybe it would be wise for the media to have just a general position of not doing that. Dan, last thing, you said that the people should vote on this. Does our right to life come from voters or from our creator?
Oh, no, there's no question. As the Declaration states, I believe there are certain inalienable rights that we've been endowed with by our creator.
Right. So if we voted for whether we should kill Jews or own blacks or abort kids, we'd be telling people that our human rights come from the majority or from government. That's not the ultimate way to solve these problems. Every government is responsible to uphold human rights regardless of the feeling of its majority.
Right. But what I'm talking about here, Bob, is how within our system we can go out and best protect the rights of these children. We agree on the fact that these are inalienable rights, as the founders recognize. But within our system, in my view, the only way we can take that step necessary to protect them is within the system, which means the people voting to strike down these laws.
Yeah, but if the people voted to kill Jews, the government should use the Marines if necessary to stop them.
Bob, appreciate the call.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Bob Anyard, always good to have Bob on the show. And I'll respond to his last comment after the break, but we're up against network, and lines are jammed. Dan and Craig, 630 KHW.
And Dan, what is the response to that argument? This is Bob Enyart now. That's the end of the tape used by courtesy. Thank you to KHAL Radio for letting us air that. So what is the answer to that? Someone who says Dan Kaplis is a lawyer, and that we understand is a handicap that he needs to overcome, but he is pro-life. He's strongly pro-life. In fact, he had wrongly endorsed Bill Ritter for governor of Colorado, Democrat. Did I mispronounce that? Did I say Democrat? Yeah. And believing Bill Ritter's lie that he was pro-life, he's not. He supports the killing of unborn children. And when it became obvious that Bill Ritter would be our next governor, that he would win in a landslide, this is, what, within a week of the election, Dan Kaplis wrote an editorial. It was published in one of the local two papers, the News or the Post, and it was on their website, at KHAL's website. And I believe he read a statement on the air. He withdrew his support from Bill Ritter. Right when everybody's jumping on the bandwagon, Dan Kaplis jumped off because he said it is now clear that Bill Ritter does not support the right to life for the unborn. He has misled me, he's misled others, and I will not support someone to lead who advocates the right to kill innocent children. So Dan Kaplis, in my book, is one of the rare heroes in the pro-life movement who would have the guts to look at the governor-elect, the virtual governor-elect, and say, and how far back do you got to go before a Colorado governor only was elected to one term? You got to go back to the 1950s. These guys, they all get multiple terms. And to look at him and say, hey, I'm a lawyer, I'm interested in public policy, you and I have been friends from before you were ever elected to anything, but Bill, you know what? I no longer support you because you're a child killer. That takes guts. I haven't seen that kind of courage, I don't think ever, from somebody in the media in that way. And so I'm really proud of Dan Kaplis, but I asked him this question. Being a lawyer, having that handicap, it makes it difficult to think about right and wrong. So I asked him, Dan, you say the people should vote on abortion. Well, where does our right to life come from? From the majority or from our creator? And of course, he had to get that right. True? He couldn't get that wrong. Not possibly. He couldn't say our right to life comes from the government or our right to life comes from the people, and therefore neither the government nor the people have the authority to take away our right to life. But he's confused because he went to law school. We've told our kids, we have seven boys, we've said, we don't have a lot of rules, you know, but just let it be known, if you become a lawyer, we will disown you. We just want to let you know that. Some parents are so insane. They say, oh, I hope my son becomes maybe a lawyer or maybe a Hollywood celebrity or, you know. No, you got to be reasonable when you have your hopes and dreams for your kids. So we told our kids, if you become a lawyer, we'll disown you. Now, you could be a Christian lawyer, but it's very difficult. It's almost as difficult as becoming a Christian prostitute. It's almost. It's not quite that difficult, but it's almost. It's like being a Christian teacher in a public school. You have to be stealth, right? If you're a Satanist, you could tell the kids what you believe. And if you're a feminist, a homosexual, an abortionist, a pro-abort child killer, you could be open with all that. But if you're a Christian, you've got to keep it a secret. Otherwise, you'll be fired. So it's very difficult to be a Christian teacher. It's very difficult to be a Christian and work in a hospital because of how common it is to euthanize those who are sick, elderly, lonely, unwanted, unloved. But how difficult is it to be a Christian and a lawyer? It is extremely difficult because we have a godless legal system, just like we have a godless education system in our American Medical Association. The whole medical community in America, for the most part, is godless. So it's very difficult. So Dan said he thinks the people should vote. Okay, so the people vote. So the people vote to kill the innocent. So then what? The federal government says, well, the people have spoken. Vox populi, vox dei. The voice of the people is the voice of God. What can we do? The people have spoken. That's just the cop-out that all our politicians want, to look the other way and say, oh, yeah, you could rape women, lynch blacks, kill Jews, abort children. It's the will of the people, you know. So if the people voted to kill Jews, then the federal government should use the Marines, if necessary, to prevent them, to stop them. The government shouldn't say, well, the people voted. So that is not the answer. The answer isn't, it's up to the states or it's up to the people. That's not the answer. The answer is the God-given right to life comes to us from our Creator, and every government official has the obligation to protect, defend the God-given right to life. And if you undermine that, you are guilty of shedding innocent blood. There's a major article today in WorldNet Daily about this Planned Parenthood, largest facility in the country, being built here in Denver, and the Weitz Corporation, founded in 1855 by a German immigrant, now among the largest building contractors in the U.S. with about $1 billion in annual business, and they misrepresented the building permits to the city of Denver, listing United Airlines as the responsible party, as the property owner. How's that one? So major article, you might want to read it at WorldNet Daily, WND.com. In a moment, we'll go to the phones. We'll start in Loveland. But let me tell you this. Next week, we have a two-day leader summit, pro-life leader summit in Colorado, about 30 leaders. And everyone, there are no prima donnas. This is a summit of servants. Everyone is coming at their own expense, their own airfare, their own hotel, transportation. And you know what we would like to do here in Colorado? We would like to treat them all for a dinner. And thanks for them coming. But here at Bob and Yart Live, we don't have the revenue to do that. It'll be expensive. So if there's anybody out there who could help subsidize that, you know, it'd be nice to bring them to a real Colorado flavored restaurant after the first day of the summit. So if you can help out with that, please call us at 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278, or you could send a PayPal payment to securepayment@kgov.com. kgov.com is our website. So you could send and just put in the note that it's to thank these leaders from around the country for coming to Colorado for this pro-life summit hosted by Colorado Right to Life. And that's secure payment at kgov.com, or call us 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Let's go to Loveland, Colorado. Lori, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Good afternoon, Bob.
Hi. Yes, ma'am.
Well, you know, I really didn't know what to call in about. I just felt prompted to call in. I was there on Saturday at over at Planned Parenthood, and the three places that we went afterwards.
Okay, so you were one of the protesters.
Yes, I was. And that was actually the first time I'd ever done that.
Okay, well, Lori, I'm real interested to hear about your experience. I wasn't there, but I've done this before. But tell me, what was it like, and what did you guys do?
Well, I guess the biggest thing was that there was a baby saved on Saturday.
A baby saved at Planned Parenthood at 20th and Vine. The mother had scheduled to go there to kill her child, and thanks to the Christian pro-lifers outside that abortion clinic, she changed her mind.
Yeah. I wasn't there at the exact moment that it happened, but it just so touched me. When we got the call, we were actually off-site at the time. I was with Joe.
With Joe Scott.
Yes, and Will Duffy, getting ready to go to the next place. And it just really touched my heart. I guess what was interesting for me is that my sign was a little bit different from most everybody else's in the fact that I personally have experienced abortion. And when I attempted to talk to the, as you call them, the death escorts that usher the women and hustle them into the clinic as quickly as possible, that there were some very negative reactions from them. And it was really interesting as far as how friendly, quote unquote, I use that term very, very loosely, because they are there to get the money in the door, and I think that's their goal, and they don't care for the women, you know, having been on the other side of that, I know that firsthand, and had one of the guys there that. Was interesting because he was motioning, making hand signals towards me that I was crazy, and another one that was kind of like faking, like he was crying, you know, kind of like, you know, wah, too bad for you kind of thing.
Right.
And I was just like going, wow, what? I wish.
The hard hearts, Lori, the hard hearts.
Oh, I know. I had to
start
praying for him, Bob.
Well, that's great. And then when you guys left the abortion clinic, you went to, what, the homes of some of these whites construction executives?
Yes, we did.
Well, let me interrupt you there for a moment. At WorldNet Daily today, an article by Bob Unruh, Mega Deception at Mega Clinics, about Denver and Aurora, Illinois. The Whites Company, a nationwide construction entity hired to build Planned Parenthood's newest mega abortion clinic in Denver, has listed United Airlines as the property owner on city permits for work on a 52,000-square-foot project. And the article goes on to remind people that in Illinois, Planned Parenthood set up a company, GOD, God, Gemini Office Development, to conceal from the city officials the nature of the building there, an abortion clinic. They quote from Jill Stanek, popular pro-life columnist, and she asks, do they have license to lie on permit documents? You know, when you kill kids, what does lying mean? That doesn't mean much. And WorldNet Daily quotes White's official Gary Megason, senior VP of the Rocky Mountain Division, we're more resolved than ever to build this facility and get it completed. Then they quote Will Duffy and Keith Mason, Colorado Families Against Planned Parenthood, talking about the effort to expose this attempt to build a death camp right here in Denver, Colorado. Okay, so Lori, you guys went then to the homes of these executives.
We did, and we actually went to the home of the abortion doctor that was working that day as
okay.
well.
Okay, all right.
And but what was interesting is the neighbors around these white corporation officers, they have no idea. The deception just runs so deep. I mean, not only on site there at Planned Parenthood, but with the White's Corporation, you just see it just spilling over as far as the deception, and it's just it's appalling. Mm. It really is. I mean, I don't know how their permits don't get yanked.
Let me excerpt a little bit more from WorldNet Daily. According to documentation from WorldNet Daily columnist Jill Stanek, as well as leaders of Colorado Right to Life, in Denver, Planned Parenthood set up a front company called Fuller 38 to assemble its mega clinic. And then we have Will Duffy, a spokesman with Colorado Families Against Planned Parenthood, said the demolition permit in May and the construction permit in October both say the building is owned by United Airlines, Chicago, Illinois. So that's just outright deception. And they quote in here from United Airlines that issued a terse statement saying that United Airlines sold the building in question on January 11th, 2007. And so United is media, one of their media spokesmen, saying at least that they have nothing to do with this. So, all right, Lori, I want to thank you so much for calling in and especially for being a part of this effort to stop this death camp from being built.
Well, thank you very much. I'd just like to make one comment to any women who are out there listening today that maybe they're post-abortive, but for them to contact any of the pro-life groups, because if they're hurting from a past abortion, there is hope and there is healing found in Jesus Christ, and I just encourage them to contact or to speak to someone at their church as well.
That's right. They could call Colorado Right to Life or contact a group called Silent No More, women who have been hurt by abortion. Thank you so much, Lori. Appreciate your call.
God bless you.
And, of course, we always have to remember that the real crime of abortion is not all the side effects, not the dramatically increased risk of breast cancer, not the racism, not destroying minority neighborhoods, but it's the killing of unborn children. That's what's really horrendous about abortion. Now, this Pro-Life Leader Summit, if you'd like to be a part of it in this way, please give us a call. If you would like to help us host these leaders from around the country at least to one dinner on Tuesday night. And Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school in Arvada.